Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's exciting times around the land of Teal, and I'm just so thrilled that the Sharks have been able to make their way into the conference finals again, I should say, the Final Four of hockey. And joining us now is our buddy Jamie Baker, of course, a great Shark himself, scorer of one of the great playoff goals in the history of the franchise, and now part of the broadcast crew. And Jamie, it was great to see you at Game 7, waving the towel, celebrating with the fans. And you told me after the game that your number 13, that was a game-worn jersey?
That's the last Sharks jersey that I have. It was I wore it my last year here, and so pulled it out for that night. And they asked me, you know, if I would do it the day before, and I'm like, I hope we're winning during the second period when I have to wave the towel. We were, and the crowd was easy to please, if you will. There was a good mood at the Shark Tank at SAP Center the other night.
Yeah, and when you're a retired guy and you can still put on your uniform, that's a good sign too. No doubt.
It's actually, I will try end of the season, because we haven't been doing the game, so a little bit of a detox here. I call it, I got to lose my 10 to 15 pounds. I just call it road fat. I went and got some suits, like kind of tailored last year, like right before the season, and they were a little tight come mid-January. I'm like, I need two sets of tailor suits for the first 40 and the last 40 games.
Very good. Well, you know, before Game 7, I had a lot of naysayers telling me they're just going to choke again. And I was trying to tell them that this is a different team. And it's not just the head coach and with the goalie, but guys like Martin and Ward and a young guy like Donskoy, they don't care about that kind of history. And the younger stars like Pavs and Cooch, the way that they're going to step up. And I love seeing what Jumbo did and Patty. I've got all the nicknames here for you. Bakes, but it is a different Sharks team, and I was trying to tell people that, and I'm glad that I ended up being right.
The one thing about sports, you know, and fans get caught up at it and all that, but like when the athletes themselves, they can't live in the past, and like you just can't, because it'll like if you play with fear, you're not going to make it to this level. There's too many good players out there, you know. It's just the way it is. So, you know, I know last season when they didn't make the playoffs, there was a hangover, but it was just the environment wasn't right. You know, the culture wasn't there. This year, you know, new coaching stuff was like a fresh coat of paint. And, you know, literally, like they redid the dress rooms at the practice facility and at SAP. New coaching staff. Everybody came back with a fresh, positive attitude and looked forward to the year. Doug Wilson and his staff did a... We didn't know at the time. I mean, there were unknowns. We didn't know how Mark Jones was going to be. We didn't know how good Jonas Donskoy was going to be. You know, Paul Martin and Joel Ward, we knew were character guys, but would they have the impact that they had? Was Paul Martin going to be... He was brought here to be Brent Burns' defense partner, but, you know, did we think he was going to be that good? And did we think that Brent Burns, you know, was going to end up being a Norris, you know, candidate? None of that. We weren't sure. But it happened, and it's happened over the course of the season. So going into Game 7, like, people, like, I don't want to say they're naysayers. They're like, we want to see it to believe it. Prove it to us is I think what they were probably saying, you know? And that's exactly what the Sharks did, and then some. I think it might have been the most dominant performance by a Sharks team in an elimination game in the history of this franchise. I mean, they dominated from start to finish. It was fun to watch, and I'm happy for the players. I'm happy for the coaches. I'm happy for management, and I'm really happy for the fans.
No doubt about it. And when you think about that game, and here's Shea Weber, who has had such a great career, and asked Vlasic how hard his slap shots still are, but he probably had the worst game of his life. You know, he was on the ice for all five goals. And can you think... Just as a player, can you think, is there a game that sticks out for you that you were just so atrocious you thought, man, that was the worst game I ever played?
Yeah, There were unfortunately, there were a bunch. No, I'm just kidding. The worst game I think I ever played was the first game after my my first daughter was born. We were on the road. I flew home, missed a game in Boston, and then was up all night. And, you know, you go through the emotions. Your first child is born. And then I flew back on a Friday. And then the next day, there was a noon game in Buffalo. And then the team flew home after that game. And I shouldn't have flown. I should have gone. Never really had that in the playoffs where I was just, but that was just one of those nights. But you could see that it was like, you could see, I think it was fatigue related. And ultimately the Sharks went right at them. You know, they got in a hole. And then in the process of trying to get out of the hole in Nashville, they made more mistakes later in the game, which kind of just expanded on things. But it happens. And, you know, that's why beating LA in five mattered. You know, you look at what happened in that game with San Jose in Game 7. You have to go back to them closing out L.A. in Game 5, because if that series goes 7, who knows what the fatigue factor, both physically and emotionally, and you don't know how San Jose might have, you know, played in that game. But those 2 days in between were great, and they were rested and ready to go.
Great point. Jamie Baker is with us, former Shark and Sharks broadcaster. And when I think about 5 years ago when they faced St. Louis, and I remember – after I think it was game four, they lost the Tank. And I asked McClellan, I said, you know, it seemed like whenever it was our power play, we couldn't even get it into their end. And then when it was their power play, we're on the PK, we couldn't get it out of at our end. And he said, I think you've summed it up very nicely. So I look at the power play now, and of the final teams left in the playoffs, the Sharks are number one, converting at about 31%. How much is it going to be special teams in this series?
Well, first of all, That's going to be at the discretion of the discipline of the players and then the referees, how they call it, game in, game out. If you're St. Louis, you're preparing for this. Ken Hitchcock, he doesn't have to tell the players, because the players are already saying, boys, no stupid penalties. Like, we have to stay out of the box, because even if they don't score, they're going to get momentum from it. Like, both their units are good. So it's going to be a huge point of emphasis to just stay out of the box. San Jose, they're going to break down St. Louis's power play, and they're going to go, boys, we can't give guys like Tarasenko, Schwartz, Shattenkirk, you know, Backes. If we put them on the power play, these guys are too dangerous, and then they're going to get into the flow of the game. Don't take stupid penalties. So special teams, it could be a huge part of the series, or it might not be that big, because there might be, you know, like, there might not be a lot of penalties. If you're only getting two power plays a game, like, yeah, you say, well, we have to really, really optimize those two chances. But if you don't score them, then you got to win the game 5-on-5. So we'll see how it's played. But I think 5-on-5 is actually going to dictate this series more than the special teams.
Well, you mentioned Vlad the Impaler. Tarasenko already 13 points in the playoffs. But I just think about the blue line. I mean, you mentioned Shattenkirk, but Pietrangelo, Bomeister, even the rookie Parayko, they're a tough nut to crack. And then I think about, you know, when Jake Allen got a little banged up, Brian Elliott is playing very well right now. But the reason I really have belief, I really point at Pavelski, and not only leading the league with playoff goals with 9, he's got 3 game winners. It's ever since he's had that C on his chest, he has pulled this team up by the scruff of their neck. I feel like he won't allow them to lose, not to jinx them, but I just have so much faith in the captain.
Well, I think what we've seen this year with Pavelski, and he's been great for years, and he's been a great leader for years. But as the captain, I think the team has taken on his persona, you know, and the characters and the characteristics and traits that he like epitomizes what Joe Pavelski is from a hockey standpoint. And to me, it's resiliency and it's perseverance. You know, he's not the biggest, he's not the fastest, seventh round kick, 205th overall, you know, but he's a two-time Olympian. He's been an all-star. He's scored over 40 goals. He's a great ambassador for the Sharks and for hockey off the ice. Great family man. Like, that's what he is. And he, you know, and he's an easygoing guy. Like, he's a good interview and he's a real student of the game. Like, he is, from a hockey sense, he's off the charts. From a hockey sense standpoint, you know, I sat and watched some of Game 7 with Scotty Hannett. We were in the alumni suite at the game, And, you know, he played with them, and he talked about how we talked about Pavelski, how he gets open. This was on the goal, the Sharks' first goal. And he broke it down from a guy that played with Pavelski and played against him. But more importantly, he said, Bakes, when in practice, he was one of the hardest guys. When we did battle drills down low, he goes, it's funny, some guys would go and try and just get open. Pavelski would come, and he would be, he's moving, and he's using a stick. He says he'll poke you here, but he'll knock your stick away. So he's really disruptive. So he doesn't float necessarily for the open space. He'll go to where the defender is and start battling and all this, and then move their stick, and he times it. Like, he'll kind of knock their stick. Next thing you know, the puck's coming. He catches it and releases it. So he does stuff like that. And, you know, like, all those the characters of resiliency and perseverance, that to me is dripped through this entire lineup. We saw it on the road, why they won so many road games this year. On six occasions this year, they were trailing going into the third period, and they came back and won the game, all on the road. That's resiliency. That's perseverance. A lot of those, some of those games were at the end of long road trips. And that's what this team is. They rebounded from a bad game or a tough game four against Nashville, triple overtime loss, had a great game five. They didn't play well in game six, came back, played their best game of the playoffs in game seven. That's resiliency. That's perseverance. That's Joe Pavelski.
Good point. And how cool is the alumni suite, huh?
It was good. Yeah. Owen Nolan was up there. Curtis Brown's family was there. Who else? Dave Maley was there. Tom Peterson. It was great.
Finally,
Mark Smith.
Yeah, that's someplace I'll never get to go, but I don't belong there. For the Sharks.
You can come visit.
All right, I'll drop by and I'll say get out. Finally, Bakes, you mentioned Burns and the Norris and a little bit about Paul Martin, but I think what people need to realize, and sometimes in soccer they'll say, you know, you'll have one midfielder be the holding guy, allow the other guy to go forward. But what Martin is able to let Burns do, and I love how DeBoer is like, go out on the point and just take slappers, and he has over 100 shots than he did last year, and so many of those lead to the biscuit going in the basket if it's not a deflection or a rebound or him himself. So when you're Paul Martin and you got to take that role of, I'm not going to score, but I got your back, how huge is that?
Well, I think it goes beyond that, you know, to be honest. So I'll address the shots in a second. But the first thing, what Paul Martin does, it's his game management. And he's a calming influence. So he just, you know, Burnsy will admit it. He's all over the map. Like, you watch him in, like, every day. He's moving and grooving, you know, and he's got a lot of energy, which is awesome. But sometimes in the defensive zone, it was too much. He might just roam out of position and all that. And Paul Martin has just helped, and this coaching staff have helped just settle him down defensively. And that's like, he was getting the shots in the first half of the year. In the second half of the year, he was still getting the shots, but he was playing way better defensively. He's a Norris candidate because of, you know, halfway through the year, he was at about a minus 15. If that stays, if that's where he finished, if he was just even the second half of the year and finished at minus 15, I don't know if he's a Norris candidate, but he was one of the best plus minus players, you know, in the NHL the second half. I think I don't know where he ended up. It was right around even. So he was about a plus 15 the last 41 games. So you average that over the year, that'd be about a plus 30. A lot of that had to do with, you know, I think the chemistry he had with Paul Martin, the trust, but just settled his game down. He picked his spots better. And I think Paul Martin's done that. And then when Burnsy did make mistakes, and he doesn't make that many, but when he does, Paul Martin's right there for him. So they understand each other well. Regarding the shots, like, Burns has the freedom in the offensive zone. So there's two facets. He's got the freedom to move. He's very active. And, you know, like, in morning scrums, you know, talking to other coaches throughout the course of the year, they always bring up Brent Burns first. Like, we have to try and shut him down. Ken Hitchcock will address it. Their team will watch, you know, they'll just study Brent Burns for 15 to 20 minutes. He's that important. They'll break down. I bet you they watch about 40 to 50 clips on Brent Burns, all the different things he does going into this series. And he's very unpredictable. So that's why there's going to be that many clips, because he's so unpredictable. One of the reasons he can move around so much is because of Paul Martin. The other reason he can move around it much and he gets this is because the forwards are so good. They're such a pressure-oriented forecheck. Their puck protection, puck possession in the offensive zone is good. You know, you're not getting shots if somebody's not feeding you. You're not getting shots if you don't have time to get open. He has time to get open because somebody's protecting the puck along the board somewhere or down low. So, You know, they support good forecheck. You've got that reliable defensive core, and because of it, Burns, he's got the, you know, he's got, to me, I think he's got the best shot in the NHL from a defenseman standpoint. There's some guys, Shea Weber's got a harder slap shot, but Brent Burns, just the combination of a like really quick release, his wrist shot, snapshot, amazing velocity, and tremendous, he's you know, can pick his spot, you know, so you take those three things, very precise, very accurate shot, he's got the velocity, the quick release, and Sharks have the puck a lot, he's got a reliable D partner, you add it all up, you got a guy that gets a lot of shots and a lot of scoring chances because of it.
Great stuff, great insights. Jamie Baker's been with us. Follow him on Twitter at Bakes_Jamie13. Yeah, Burnsy already with 15 points in the playoffs. And we'll see you at Game 3 at the Tank. Hopefully the Sharks will be up 2-0. And now you have to wear that lucky jersey every game now.
I might just do that. So yeah. ping me if you're there, bud.
All right, I actually will. Thank you very much for that. That's Jamie Baker out there, and always love talking.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.